All right, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where we're at in our Bible study here in the Sunday school class. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, last week we looked at how, we answered a couple questions. One of them was, how are the dead raised and with what body do they come forth from the dead with? And we answered those questions as Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 35, down through about verse number 41 is what we dealt with last week. And remember, we talked about that one verse over there in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 24. I'll read this verse to you while you're turning, okay, to 1 Corinthians 15. John 12, 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So, Brother Scott, P.J. Scott, brought me an object lesson for our class today. Were you ever in Sunday school and the teacher ever used an object lesson before? All right, it's an object that you learn a lesson from. That's what an object lesson is. So this looks like a potato, doesn't it? That's because it is. It's a potato. And he was telling me last week after we did the study there, talking about how you learn about the truth of the resurrection, the certainty of the resurrection of the physical body, the truth about the resurrection of the physical body. The way you learn is by observing God's creation all around you, whether it's the grass or the trees or the plants or the crops or whatever you want to really look at, you can see that those things don't last forever. They have a temporary existence, but from those things, when they die, springs forth new life, and even not just new life, but more life, right? Abundant life. And so he was talking about how he took these, and I've never planted potatoes before. I've eaten plenty of them, especially if they've been cut up in little skinny pieces and French fried, or fried, or freedom fried, however you want to say that. But anyway, I've done a lot with potatoes as far as eating them. But he planted, he said, 5 pounds of potatoes, and got 3 bushels worth from 5 pounds. And he was showing me how you cut, and you have the different sprouts that are coming out, the new life that's coming out of a potato. And he's talking about how they go into the ground, they die, and the new life springs forth, and the more life springs forth. And he was talking about how from one potato can come a lot of potatoes. And I told you before, I don't think it's hanging there anymore, but right over the kitchen sink, growing up in my mom's house, my dad's house also, we'll put this in the offering plate like the old days. We'll put a potato in the offering plate, okay? All right, maybe some eggs, chicken, something like that. Krispy Kreme donut, something like that. There was a little round decoration plaque thing that had an apple on it, you know, all decorative, you know, maybe apples of gold and pictures of silver or something like that. But on the notation on the little decoration there hanging over the sink, it said, "Anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed." And that's how that works, isn't it? And that's how it works. You know, God shows us, he gives us an object lesson through his creation. Just look around. That's why Paul calls the guy, he says it's a foolish question when you say, "How are the dead raised?" Like it's really an impossible thing to do. And with what body do they come forth? Someone's trying to say, "Oh, haven't you seen a body die and decay and the corruption?" Who wants to have new life in that decayed, corrupted body again? Some smart aleck back in Corinth talking like that. And Paul says, are you being foolish, man? Have you not looked around? Hey, can't you see what happens all around you all the time, throughout your life, throughout your existence? Can't you see that it's not, you know, God's going to bring it forth just like he brings forth apples from a seed or potatoes from sprouts or however you want to say that. Just like God's done that over and over, millions and billions of times over and over again, he can do that with the physical body also. If it dies, it's planted, new life's going to spring forth. And what body is it going to come forth with? Well, whatever body pleases God, that's how it's going to come forth. I'm very thankful I'm going to have a body one day that pleases God. He's going to give me a body that pleases him. It's going to be for his pleasure. He's going to be pleased to give me that body. I'm going to be very, very pleased to receive it, by the way. And I think you'll be very pleased also. So that's what we talked about last week. Verse 38 says, God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. Then verses 40 and 41 of 1 Corinthians 15 talks about there are different kinds of bodies. It starts kind of going through the animal kingdom. It talks about, in general, the terrestrial bodies, terrestrial dealing with things pertaining to the earth, correct? And he talks about the celestial bodies. And that's things pertaining to the heavens and how they differ, yet God gives everything in His creation a body as it hath pleased Him. And one day, as a believer in Jesus Christ, whether Christ comes back and takes us while we're still alive and remaining with life upon this earth, and He comes back and raptures us, gathers us out of here, or whether death comes to us and our appointed time comes, just like it came to all those that have lived before us, and we're planted in the ground, and God has to give us a little bit of a head start and says the dead in Christ shall rise first. They got 6 feet further to go, right? And the dead in Christ rise first, and we're all gathered together to meet Him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful truth the resurrection is to think about all the time. Amen. We just had Thanksgiving. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Hope you had as much turkey or whatever it is you eat for Thanksgiving as you wanted. And mine was very good, I know that. I was very thankful before, after, during. And it's gone now, leftovers and everything. Turkey sandwiches are already over with because there's 6 people in my house. And we fed a bunch with that turkey. But it was good, and I hope yours was good also. The time with family, the special time, a time of Thanksgiving. But one of the things we can be thankful about 24/7, 365 or 366 days a year is the resurrection. Amen? Because that's what we have in Christ Jesus. If you're saved today, if you're in Christ, you have that resurrection to look forward to. As this body wears out more and gets worse, and that's what it does, right? It gets worse. All right, we can feel better sometimes than we did other times, but generally speaking, the longer we live in it, the longer we're down here in this earthly realm, the worse it gets. Do you know, it's going to get worser and worser, okay? But it's going to get better in the end, because God's going to give us a body that will never wear out. Amen. Or decay. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So based on the truth that was previously stated, and we looked at it in verses 35 through 41, now we have verse 42, and the first word of verse 42 is the word so also. Well, that's two words. So also. So also. So that helps us understand what he was just talking about now applies to the truth that he's going to tie in right here. So the first two words here, so also, is the resurrection of the dead. Just like the distinctions in bodies, just like the creation of God that you can look around and see, just like new life comes forth from a dead, old, wrinkled, hard seed, new life, a new body springs forth from that. We can see that as we look at creation, God's going to do a similar supernatural work when it comes to our physical body. So the first two words, so also, just like God makes a miraculous change in other areas of His observable creation, okay, He's also going to make a profound and miraculous change in the believer that He raises from the dead. That's a good place to say amen right there, okay? He's going to make a profound, deep, genuine, miraculous, supernatural change, metamorphosis, whatever word you want to use. He's going to make that happen in our own body. In our own body. What a blessing that is to know that. So in these verses 42 through 44, that's all we're going to look at, I guess, today. I hate to not move along further than that, but that's how the Lord's leading today. In those three verses, we're going to see four statements that Paul makes. Four striking contrasts, let's say it that way. Four notable things where Paul's going to use the words, it is sown, it is raised. It is sown, it is raised. He's going to use those words, he's going to word it like that four different times for us to learn something, okay? So let's look at verse number 42. The Bible says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Look, it. You know what the it is, right? Okay? It is the physical body. It in context here is the body of the believer in Christ Jesus. Okay? It is sown, just like the potatoes were sown. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. In verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a statement there concluding verse 44. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So let's take the time this morning in Bible class for the next few minutes to look at these four compare and contrast statements, if you want to say it like that, these four notable statements that Paul makes in these verses. Now, understand this. Paul words it like this: it is sown, it is raised, and he goes through and he uses those words over and over again. You understand why he does that, right? He words it that way so that there'd be no doubt that the great change that he's writing about, the great change is going to be brought about in the same body. It is sown, it is raised, okay? So it's not, oh, this one body is sown over here, this other body is raised over here. No, it's the same body that's being spoken of. So yes, the body we're sporting today, okay? What is it, November the 27th, 2011, something like that? The one we're sporting today, okay? This body is the one that God's going to make the change in if you're saved. So that's good news for us to know, and that's something good for us to chew on and feast on and think about and meditate on a little bit. So let's look at the first statement. Statement number one, found in verse number 42. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Now, I don't think there's anybody here, we probably all live long enough that we understand that statement right there. Okay? When a body, when the physical life leaves it, and the body is sown. And I could take time to talk a little bit right now about being buried as opposed to being cremated, okay? All right, I could do that. Sometimes I'm a little shocked at the folks that are cremated. And I was shocked a little bit when I pastored in Georgia, and I've been shocked about the same as I've pastored here with my dad for the last over 3 years now. And let me just say that the right way, the scriptural way to do things is to have a body buried in the ground, okay? Planted in the soil. It's sown awaiting what God's going to do to it. Now, does cremation keep God's miraculous resurrection change from happening? Absolutely not. Whether a body is lost at sea or whether a body is lost in, and we could talk about ways that bodies can be lost and the life can leave a body, different ways of death and unfortunate ways, whether something's burned or not, it doesn't limit God. I think that's what the pagans used to think as they burned martyrs at the stake, as the godless and those that even thought they were of doing the work of God as they burn people at the stake. I really believe that they were trying to disallow or discourage them from believing they'd be resurrected. But you understand, there's no limitations of what God can do, okay? Now, when it comes to man, we're very limited. But when you talk about God, there is no limitations. The only thing that limits him is his holiness and righteousness, okay? His word, okay? But when it comes to his power and when it comes to what God's work can do, he can do no evil, he can do no wickedness, he can do no unrighteousness, he can do no wrong, but he can do anything he believes that he should do according to his will and to his word, okay? So you can't limit God, and I think that's some of the pagan, godless religions and traditions that are maybe left over from the history of mankind speak to that with what we call cremation today. I understand it's cheaper. I understand it's less expensive, okay? And I understand that's many people's motives when it comes to what they choose. But it just seems like if you read the Bible and you understand the truth, you got to do things God's way, amen, and trust him with the details, okay? That's my opinion, okay? And God's opinion is what counts the most, of course. And I think we can look at that. But when a body is sown in corruption, you understand that's speaking of the death. The life leaves the body, the death of the physical body. You know what the body does? It starts a process where it returns to dust, right? it disintegrates, basically. Do you know the body goes on a corruption and decaying process, just like God told Adam and Eve it would way back in the book of Genesis? Genesis chapter 3, let me read you a verse from there, okay? Verse 19, God says, he goes, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." God pretty much sums it up right there, doesn't he? He told it to our fallen parents way back when in the Garden of Eden. You came from the dust, and you're going to return to the dust. In between time, you're going to have to work, and you're going to have to sweat, you're going to have to labor, so you'll have something to eat in between time, because that physical body needs fuel, it needs something to be sustained. By the way, let me give you another by the way real quick, okay? Do you understand that since our body came from the ground, that the things that come from the ground are good for our body to partake of? Now, I say that because we live in a time where, and I've said this before, but more than half the things we eat don't come from the ground. Right? They might have some basis or some kinship somewhere, but the things we eat today are so processed and manipulated to the point where it's not really suitable food for us. Now, I didn't say it didn't taste good, okay? In fact, I'll tell you the opposite. It does taste good, okay? But does it help our body? No, it doesn't help our body. Does it aid these afflictions and sicknesses and disease and conditions we have? Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you are concerned about the well-being and the health of your physical body, then try to eat somewhat more of a natural diet, okay? Now, I feel like the pot calling the kettle black right now, but that's what we ought to do, okay? We all get to the point where we understand things aren't like they used to be, and we have to make a better effort than we used to make. God gives us resilient bodies, and you can eat absolute junk and garbage, and your body can still somehow get some energy out of it and get some good out of it, but that only lasts so long, okay? And those days are past for me and probably for most of you, okay? So if you want to do something that's going to make you actually feel better and be happier and healthier, then you need to have a diet that God has grown for you, for the body that came forth from the ground, and things like this that came forth from the ground, they're gonna help you. And get it in this kind of condition, and don't let McDonald's get it first, okay? All right? It's not near as good for you after McDonald's or all those other folks get a hold of it. So that, I could talk a lot more about that, and maybe I should think a lot about that myself, but that's a fact, and you can find that right there in Scripture. We came from the ground. We're composed. God made us in bodies that are supposed to dwell upon this earth and to live upon this earth and to live from what this earth gives us, okay? And as we do that, we're going to find ourselves more accomplishing more of what God intended there, okay? Psalm 103, verse 14 says it this way, talking about God, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." I'm so thankful that God remembers that we're just dust. I'm sure even though God is everything that he is and all his wonderful attributes, I'm sure if he weren't so long-suffering and gracious and merciful, you'd think he'd have to get fed up with us, wouldn't you? But he remembereth, I remember. I just got some dust up together and breathed life into it. I remember. That's why they're so weak. That's why they're so silly. That's why they're so ignorant. I remember, okay. So I'm glad that God remembers. He needs to remember when it comes to people like me and maybe even some of you that are here today also. So I'm glad that he does that. You heard my dad and heard others talk about the story about a little boy that was at Sunday school class, like we have boys and girls at Sunday school class today here on the property. And the teacher was teaching out of the book of Genesis and talking about how God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And then how he formed Eve from the rib that came from that man, and how basically God tells us in verse 19 of chapter 3 that we're just dust and we're going to return to dust. And little boy, he was fascinated by all that, and that really sunk in with him, and he was really, his wheels were turning a little bit. So that afternoon as he got home from church, he ran up to his room, ran upstairs to his room, pulled the covers back, looked underneath his bed, and yelled, "Mom, Mom, come quick! Under my bed, somebody's either coming or going." I think he understood it a little bit. You see, in this earthly realm, with our physical body, a temporary existence is the best we can hope for. That's the best we can do. I remember Brother Cameron up when I pastored up in Georgia, a wonderful man that was such a blessing to me, passed away here back in 2009, passed away Christmas Day 2009, almost 2 years ago. He used to say, he says, all these folks that talk about evolution, he said, you ever thought about that before? All that evolving and evolving and evolving for millions and billions of years just to live 50, 60, 70, 80 years. That doesn't quite make sense, does it? No, if you think about it, if you follow things through their conclusion, it doesn't really make sense. Let's evolve for billions of years just to live for a short little temporary time. See, that's what evolution will tell you. That's all the purpose there is for things. But this book will tell you different. Amen? God's made it possible for us to live as long as He's going to live, going forward into eternity. What a blessing that is. So the best we can hope for, even if you do eat of the things of the ground, and you do just partake of things that are more healthy for you, and what they call organic today and stuff like that, even if you were able to do that, do you know that at best you might squeeze 80, 90 years out of this body? That's about the best you could do? Oh, that's a long time. Well, we think that, but if you look at the whole scope of things, it's not a very long time. Really just you find you a 90-year-old to visit with a little bit and talk to a little bit. Sister Scrivener in the hospital, 94 years old, very sharp, still very intelligent to talk to, even though she's up in years just a little bit there. She's done a lot. She's lived a long time. But you know what? It probably seems like that to her. Seems like she blinked a couple times and here she is, almost to her mid-90s. That's how earthly life is. The best we can hope for is a temporary existence. But you know, as far as this earthly realm's concerned, but you know there's more than this earthly realm to concern yourself with, isn't there? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "We look not at the things which are seen, like in this earthly realm, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, like in this earthly realm, are temporal." Temporal. All those things you can look at, the God's creation around us and mankind, your fellow man, we're temporal. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They last forever and ever and ever. That's why for those of us in Christ Jesus, we are to concern ourselves with the eternal. Amen? And not get too caught up on the temporal. That's such a good lesson for us, and we need to remind ourselves of that lesson day in and day out. Our body and everything we can see and touch around us is going to return to dust. It's going to experience corruption. It's going to go into corruption. But in the resurrection, no matter what or where corruption has done with our physical body, people say, what about this person on the battlefield? No, it doesn't matter how that death or how that corruption came to being. It doesn't matter. That same body that was sown in corruption will be raised in incorruption, the scripture says. Then we will have bodies after God raises us in incorruption that'll never decay, never experience corruption again, never experience sickness, never experience disease, never experience pain, never experience heartaches. None of those things that we know about this earthly realm that are so easy to recognize and experience, we won't know those in the next life when God raises us. So number one, the physical body is sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. Number two, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. That's a good one in verse number 43 right there. It is sown, talking about the physical body, in dishonor, it is raised in glory. You understand the death of the physical body is like the dishonorable discharge of the old man? Ever thought about it that way? You men that served in the armed forces in military service, you know what an honorable discharge is, and you know what a dishonorable discharge is. You understand when we die, when our life leaves this physical body, it's like the dishonorable discharge of this old man. This body is about dishonor. Did you know that? As we live in it, there's going to be dishonorable things it participates in. It's going to be dishonorable things it desires and craves to do. And then when it comes to its end, it's going to go out in a dishonorable fashion. Okay? The physical body is. It really is. No one really faces death on their best day, you know, unless you're trying to say they're injured or something, but being injured is not your best day. No one goes at the peak of their strength. The body doesn't die in a sense like that. Something happens, something goes wrong for that physical body to discharge the old man, so to speak. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. You know, this body is the physical vehicle from which sin operates. It's the seat of sin, okay? That's where sin operates in. That's why when we give up this physical body, it's the dishonorable discharge. You're getting rid of something that's brought dishonor to your existence. But think about it this way. It's dishonorable to get sick, isn't it? Is that an honorable experience you have when you get really sick and you're helpless, can't do for yourself, have to depend on somebody else? Do you feel a lot of honor and pride in that situation? No, it dishonors you, doesn't it? Yeah. Yes, it does. I've visited enough in hospitals and I've been sick enough times myself. It's not an honorable experience. It's a time of dishonor. But remember, what was sown in dishonor is raised in glory. There's no such thing as dishonor and glory, okay? You're talking about glory is glory, the glory that God giveth. It's like Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, who shall change our vile body. Man, you go to the hospital, and thank God for hospitals, I understand that. I have a hard time saying that sometimes because of some of the hospital experiences I've seen folks have and even people in my family have. But thank God for hospitals and those doctors and nurses and attendants and all those that are trying to help people. But you go to that hospital visit, they're going to poke you and they're going to prod you. They're going to do tests on you that are not honorable experiences. I can think of at least two songs right now that two comedians sing, and one of them is Ray Stevens. I call him a comedian, okay? Where they laugh and joke and make fun about certain experiences you have, certain tests you have when you go to see the doctor at a certain age. But that's all I'm going to say about that, okay? The Bible says, who shall change our vile body? It's vile, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's what God does. So it's sown in dishonor, but the good news is it's raised in glory. Yeah, there's honor there in being raised in glory by God, isn't there? And never to be dishonored again? That is good news right there. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you need to get in Christ Jesus. You need to get saved. You need to believe on what God has told you to believe in, and that's the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ that he provided for all of us. Number three, look at the third set of, this third statement here in this set of it is sown, it is raised statements. Number three, verse 43, last part of verse 43, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Now that kind of goes along with number two, doesn't it? Dishonor and glory. But how weak is the human body? I mean, there's going to be guys playing this afternoon. They're going to get paid millions and millions of dollars. They are getting paid millions and millions of dollars to go out there and to just show their physical prowess on the football field, okay? And we'll say, oh, man, that guy's strong. Look at that. It took five guys to tackle him. Or, man, that guy's strong. Look how hard he hit that other guy. No, you know what? They'll have to yield to sleep tonight just like the rest of the world. They'll have to say, you know what? I'm tired. I need rest. My body is weary and can't go any further, and they'll have to lay down in weakness. I don't care how strong they are. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how ugly or handsome they are. They'll have to lay down and say, I yield. Uncle, I'm sleepy. it's time to take a baby aspirin and go to sleep. That's what you people used to do, take a baby aspirin, right? The human body's weak. The human body's weak. I remember back when I broke my arm after those hurricanes in 2004, having to get my six-year-old daughter to come tie my shoes for me. I can't tie shoes with one hand. Maybe you can do it. That is not easy to do. I'm sure somebody can learn to do it, but I never learned to do it. I had a six-year-old daughter that would tie daddy's shoes for him. Why? Because daddy couldn't do it, and she could. I had to get my wife to come help button my pants. And since I had all those rods and pins and all that kind of stuff, I wasn't too physically active at the time, and my pants got tighter and tighter because I was eating those things that were processed and refined and manipulated. Little Debbies make Big Debbies. You understand that, right? The best I could do is suck in for all I was worth, you know? That's the only help I could give. But you understand the ultimate display of weakness in this physical realm, in this physical body, is death. You understand the body has to give up to it. You understand Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 8. Let me see if I marked it here, because I'm going to read it to you if I did. Ecclesiastes 8:8 says, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit," the less spirit, the man, spirit of man. "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death." Okay? I can't say, okay, spirit, you're going to stick around. Doesn't matter that I was just mortally wounded or injured. No, you're going to stick around. I'm going to will you to stay. I have power over you. I'm strong enough to hold on to you when it's my time. No, I can't do that. I also don't have the power to say, okay, I release my spirit before the time that it's supposed to be released. There's only one man that ever lived that had that power. You know who he was? His name was Jesus Christ. He's the one hanging between heaven and earth on the cross of Calvary that said, "Father, into thy hands commend I my spirit." He was God in the flesh, so he had to give that spirit, that life, permission to leave his body. But the rest of us, we don't have that. There's a difference there. Death is the ultimate display of weakness. But you know what Paul said? Because it's sown in weakness, but raised in power. Paul says this, knowing the hope of the resurrection, he says, Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." So he's basically saying, for me to die is gain. I gain something. It gets better for me if I die because of the resurrection that's certain to happen. He also says, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. It can seem good down here. Maybe things can go good for you down here. Do you understand to be with Christ is far better? Do you understand further than that? That when God takes our body and fashions it like unto his glorious body, it's going to be far, far, far better? Okay? It's going to just get better and better for the believer. Sown in weakness, but raised in power. That's what the scripture says. What a blessing that is, what we have in Christ Jesus, isn't it? The fourth thing, and I hardly have time to talk about it, is verse 44. Look at it. It says, "It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." I'll say this briefly. Right now, as we're sown a natural body, as we're in the natural body, we're dominated by the natural, we're dominated by the carnal. The body's desires and cravings and wishes, that's what really dominates us in this realm. It really does. But you understand that when God raises us from the dead, or when we're alive and he returns at our gathering together unto him, and he changes us in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, do you understand that then we'll be dominated by the spiritual? We're dominated by the natural now, but we'll be dominated by the spiritual then. We'll be dominated by that renewed mind. We'll be just like Jesus Christ. We'll be conformed to the image of his Son, Romans 8:29. What good news that is. We have a world that's dominated by the carnal right now. We have believers that are dominated by the carnal right now in this earthly realm, not able to cope with the fleshly desires of their sinful flesh. Yet, at that day, the renewed mind will be the dominating factor. What a blessing that is. It'll be a spiritual body. Does that mean you can't feel of it? Does that mean you can't touch it? Does that mean it can't consume or it's not there manifest present with you? No, that's not what that means, because we can learn about that from studying Christ's glorified, resurrected body. And he ate and he was touched by Thomas and by others, was he not? He wasn't a ghost with a sheet over top of it with holes poked out for the eyes. No, he was a physical, in that sense, a literal, glorified body. That physical, natural body was sown, and a spiritual body, resurrection body, eternal glorified body is what God gave us as a harvest. Amen? And that's what we have to look forward to. I hope that's good news to you. I don't know how it could be anything but good news. The only way that's bad news for you is if you're not saved today. And if that's the case, we'll give you an opportunity to respond in the service to follow. Let's look at the report for today.